News and interviews from across the world and right here in the central Susquehanna Valley. This is WKOK Sunrise on News Radio 1070 WKOK and WKOK.com.
There we go. Thank you so much for joining us this morning on WKOK. Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer, we appreciate all his hard work and his help. On the news line with us now, the Reverend Dr. Leah Shade is with us. I'm proud to say I have made acquaintance with her when she lived in our area. She's a Lutheran pastor now, or she was a pastor then, and now she's a professor, an assistant professor at the Lexington Theological Seminary in Kentucky, educator, author, and still an environmental advocate, and always pushing for justice in our world, no matter how it happens to pop up, intersecting with maybe with government or just our life today. Good morning, Dr. Shade. Thank you so much for calling in.
Mark, it's so great to hear your voice again and to talk with you this morning.
I really do appreciate it. Well, let's talk about what is really a critical issue that doesn't really deserve any delay. We have a Lutheran pastor in the U.S. Seized and deported by ICE, and maybe in terms of some paperwork, not illegally, but very heavy-handedly and not necessarily. So please bring us up to date with this case.
Sure. Well, on May 8th, Pastor Betty Rendon and her husband Carlos and their daughter Paula Hincapi were swept up by ICE agents at gunpoint in their Chicago home. Now, their daughter Paula is a recipient of the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, DACA, and they wanted to deport her, and she would have been deported if we had not raised awareness about her situation and brought it to light. So she was released, but the pastor Betty and her husband Carlos also have a 5-year-old granddaughter who witnessed this entire home raid and was completely traumatized by the experience.
Now this is guns drawn, handcuffs. Nothing gentle about this, right?
Nothing at all. And the family, they were law abiding. Pastor Rendon came from Colombia back in 2004 to escape guerrilla warfare. She was being threatened because she was a school principal, and the guerrilla warfare fighters were trying to recruit her students to become fighters, and she resisted that, and so they threatened her and her family. So she fled to the United States, hoping that she would receive sanctuary here. But because of the tumultuous and chaotic situation in Colombia, she was not able to get paperwork documentation of the threats to her life. And so her petition for asylum was denied. And so she kept trying over the years, trying to get the paperwork, trying to show the Obama administration and the Trump administration that this was, you know, this was a real threat. And in the meantime, she was living a wonderful life. She was contributing to our society. She had become a pastor. She was getting ready to start a D-Min program in preaching. And out of the blue, they decided to target her and her family and arrest them with no warning, nothing. And despite thousands of petitions, despite protests from even the bishop of the entire ELCA, she and her husband were deported last week, and we are very upset about this.
All right, so they were deported. That's that. Well, clearly the president has made it clear he's trying to get the bad hombres out of the U.S.
Well, and I understand that. The problem is that she was not one of the bad hombres. She was one of the good people, and she was educated. She was contributing to her community. She's exactly the kind of model citizen that you want to welcome into a country. And the fact that the Trump administration is using this sort of shock and awe tactic highlights the militaristic style operation that they are carrying out against peaceful residents of our country. I mean, this is the kind of situation where if you have someone who is adhering to the law and is trying to give back to the country that they hoped would give them sanctuary, why not find a way to give them a path to citizenship. She would have been a wonderful example of being able to put that into place.
Well, and I think President Trump is interested in making sure no bad hombres get here, to use his word, and at the same time to set up a system where individuals who are contributors and are people who are going to be part of the solution in the U.S. are allowed to come in here. And of course, here's one that was already here. So if folks wish to take action on this, what's a logical action for us today?
There is a GoFundMe account for her daughter and granddaughter who have been left behind and never even got to say goodbye to Pastor Betty and Carlos. They never got any kind of closure. They were just ripped away. The family was torn apart. And we have raised over $12,000 to support Paula and her daughter. So if you want to go, if anybody wants to go to the, you know, just go to GoFundMe and type in Pastor Betty, that will pop up, and you can make a donation to be supportive of the family. And in the meantime, there are organizations that are petitioning the administration to let her come back, to reunite this family that has made such a positive contribution to our nation and to their community.
All right. Well, we really appreciate you bringing this to light. Sorry it took us so long to get this important topic on the air. Political candidates got us pushed back here as we approached our spring primary here. But we've talked about it, so keep us up to date. I want to ask you about some of the other endeavors that are going on in your personal life. You lived in our area for a number of years, pastor at United in Christ Lutheran Church, and teaching in Lexington. Your latest book is out, Preaching in the Purple Zone. Tell us about that book, please.
Yeah, that book just came out this month. Well, I should say in May. And the book had its genesis in my ministry there in central Pennsylvania because I was in a purple zone. I had people in my congregation who were red state and blue state voters. And the challenge for pastors is to find a way to preach and minister in that red-blue divide. And so I worked with somebody from the Kettering Foundation who taught me a form of civil discourse called deliberative dialogue. And this technique brings diverse citizens together to talk about an issue using an issue guide from the National Issues Forum Institute. It's a nonpartisan guide. And it helps people to think through different approaches to a topic, whether it's immigration or climate change or the opioid crisis, and to weigh the pros and cons of different approaches, and then to find common values so that we can move forward on these important issues that affect our congregations and our communities in a way that builds us up rather than tears us apart. So Preaching in the Purple Zone, which is published by Roman and Littlefield, it offers a technique for doing this and shows pastors how to preach in a way that invites people into dialogue and then reflects the dialogue that happens within our churches and in our communities so that we see the whole community discerning together how to take action and move on these important issues of public concern.
Can that work? I mean, it just seems as though we're so divided, and I don't think it's one side or the other. Both sides say, well, why would I need to listen to the other side? I know that I'm right.
That's a great question. I've trained over 30 pastors and seminary students in this method so far, and when they've carried it out in their congregation, one of the things that's important is that they already have a level of trust with their parishioners. So when people come together knowing that even though we may disagree on these issues, we do recognize that we are so divided that the public square itself is becoming fractured and broken. And a democracy simply cannot function if citizens don't talk to each other and find a way to move forward on issues that where there is some common ground. So when the pastors do this in their congregations, what the parishioners find is that, oh my gosh, we can do this. We can talk about this in a way that avoids the fight or flight syndrome. And they actually, they learn more about each other. They move beyond the stereotyping of, oh, well, this is how right-wing people think, or this is how left-wing people think. And they start to hear each other's stories and find their common humanity. And this gives them even more impetus to find solutions to the problems that are affecting our community.
Well, you are still the eco-preacher, so how can I get more information about some of your latest writings, blogs, things along that line? What's the best way to stay in touch with some of these important topics?
Yeah, and I am still working on environmental issues, the Creation Crisis Preaching. That's the book that I published back in 2015, came out through Chalice Press. And I'm doing a lot of work with the Kentucky Interfaith Power and Light, and doing a lot with environmental issues here. So, and I'm also writing for Paphios. That's a blog, and you can just go on to Paphios, P-A-T-H-E-O-S.com, and look for Eco Preacher, and you'll see my blog. You can also follow me on Twitter. Just look for Leah Shade, and you can also follow my Facebook author's page. That's Leah D. Shade, and I give lots of updates on my blog posts and sermons and commentaries and reflections on what's going on in today's society.
Well, Pastor, so much to talk, sorry, Doctor, or Reverend, whichever title, I'll tell you what, you've earned them all and wear them all really fabulously. Thank you so much for your time. So much to talk about, so many important discussions to have on these and related to Pastor Betty. So please keep us up to date. We'll talk again. Please make it a regular check-in up here. We'd love to always hear from you, and hopefully not every time another book comes out, because that's too distant, but...
Well, actually, I have another one coming out in November, so...
Oh, fabulous. Okay, well, do make it if not sooner.
All right. Thanks so much, Mark.
Thank you. The Reverend Dr. Leah Shade, a Lutheran pastor, educator, author, advocate, talking about the Pastor Betty Rendon, the individual who was slated for deportation, was deported. Paphios.com, if you want to follow up on how to keep in touch with Leah Shade's important words.